Okay, so come, move on in. Okay, so Pinchas, of course, ruffles many modern feathers because we don't support vigilantism, people taking the law into their own hands, can cause chaos. So sometimes we're very quick to criticize that behavior or to frame the behavior. That's why Pinchas has given a bris shalom, because he's got to make sure that he's a peace-loving participant, not just a fanatic. But if Rav Amital would speak a lot to us about the other side, that sometimes you're so quick to criticize behavior that you feel is dangerous, so you don't understand the underlying virtue and value, and find a different way to express it. So Pinchas is associated with two different people. Who's Pinchas associated with? He's associated with Yisro. Chazal say that they were making fun of him. Oh, here you are, you're killing a Jewish prince, Zimri, and your great-great-grandfather, Pinchas' great-grandfather, was Yisro. He was sacrificing animals to different types of Avodah Zarah. According to Chazal, Yisro explored every form of Avodah Zarah under the sun. He was a modern-day Avram, according to one day in the Rambam, that Avram had studied all the world's religions. So they were mocking Pinchas. Why were they mocking Pinchas? Well, they were just trying to embarrass him that an ancient grandfather was a paganist. Who cares? I'm Baal Teshuva. This is several generations later. My father's Elazar. Who cares if three generations earlier my great-great-grandfather was Yisro? So Rav Amital felt that they were mocking Pinchas' fanaticism. That some people, by definition, have got very extreme personalities. And they're always radical. They're always swinging wildly from one extreme to another extreme. And Pinchas had that extremism in him. That's why he took such extreme behavior. And his great-great-grandfather, Yisro, is also extreme. Someone that was so involved in every single Avodah Zarah. Today, he's a Zoroastrian. Tomorrow, he's worshipping the sun. The next day, he's a Dagon. Some people, by their nature, they're very passionate, and they're very engaged, and they're fully in, and when they pursue something, they pursue it with every fiber of their being. And that's what people were saying. Look, you're a fanatic. It's genetic. So your great-grandfather's fanaticism was expressed by being involved one day in this religion, the next day in that religion, deeply committed to each different religious culture and ritual. And now your fanaticism is coming out by killing a Jewish prince and taking the law into your own hands. On the other hand, Pinchas, in this week's parsha, more directly, is attributed to Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Who is Aaron HaKohen? Aaron HaKohen was Oiv Shalom, Berod Shalom, and people of Shalom. They have a more moderate nature, and they're not looking, that they're able to temper their passion, and they're able to create harmony, and people that are passionate sometimes are unable to see both sides of the equation. And whatever you want to be a peacemaker, when you want to create harmony, you've got to understand that there are different ways, and different approaches, and different styles, and different opinions, and if you're so passionate, this is the only way. It's very hard to be a peacemaker. It's very hard to resolve. So when it comes to relationships, it's not a question of who's right or who's wrong, as you learn in the Tishnah when you get married. In the Beis Medrash, you want to find out who's right, who's wrong. Rav or Abaye, Beisol, Beishamai. In marriage and relationships, it's not about right or wrong. It's about common ground. So you're right. But if the person who thinks he's right or she's right doesn't agree, then you don't have a relationship. You could be right. You can win the argument, but you're going to lose the relationship. So relationships are not about winning and believing in one opinion. It's about seeing both sides and allowing room for other people and allowing space for other people. And that's not the natural space of a fanatic. And someone who's very passionate, and that's why the Torah balances him out. They were poking fun and they were mocking him that you're a descendant of Yisro, but really he was a descendant of Aaron and was able to balance it out. Okay, but Rav Amital spoke with us about the other side of the equation. Sometimes people don't have enough passion. Sometimes people are, as we say in Hebrew, too adish. Too adish in English means too apathetic, too relaxed. It's a malaise of the modern world. Live and let live. It's your business, not my business. You do what you do in the privacy of your own home. You live life your way, I'll live life my way. And that leads to indifference, that leads to disinterest, that leads to a lack of a social cohesion where we're living together and I care about you. When a person, this is me speaking now, this is not Rav Amital speaking, but I'm adapting Rav Amital. When a person throws a stone at a passerby on Shabbos in a car, or a person screams at a woman walking by in inappropriate clothing, okay, that's offensive behavior. But that shows they really care about two things. They really care about halacha, and they really care about you, because they feel like they're living together. You're not just some If I see a stranger in an airport, I can start screaming at them the way they behave. I have nothing to do with that person. I'm walking by, I share about 1 second of my life with that person. But when I share my life with you in our chosen land, because we're family, and you're acting in ways that I think are dangerous to our common trajectory. So let's say you don't throw a stone when you see someone, Baruch Hashem, driving on Shabbos, and most people don't, and you see a woman that's dressed, does it still bother you? But you say, you know what, this is the world we live in, and or it doesn't even bother you. We just walk by as if regular Sunday morning, regular Monday morning, no concern. The people dress as they want, the way they dress is their decision. Again, it can't bother you to the point that you're boiling inside, you're holding it back, because at some point it's going to boil over. But does it at least register that I wish we could have a Shabbos without Shabbos? I wish we could have a world in which people had more tzniut. So whatever the issue is, I was picking those because those are the ones that hit the headlines most frequently. And that's what Rav Amichai spoke with us about. Rav Kook used to speak about people that don't have any passion. Rishayim are deadened. They're anesthetized. And they don't even respond. Rishayim b'chayim nikrim mesim. Not just do they not respond to moral issues, but they don't respond to any. Someone with passion responds to a sunset, responds to an event, responds to a tragedy, responds to happiness. It's an important trait. Do you have passion in you? Passion means you care deeply about things. Do you care? Sometimes boys come over to me right around this day. It's 3-4 months in the yeshiva. Rabbi, I'm not passionate about learning yet. I have a problem. I'm not passionate about learning yet. So say, well, what are you passionate about? I don't know. Soccer? Fries? French fries? So what you're telling me is you don't know what passion is yet. You don't care deeply about those things. You can't. They're food. They're sport. You shouldn't. You care deeply about family, about values, about peoplehood, about Torah, about religion. Those are things people care deeply about and are very deeply committed to. So you have to learn about passion. So Pinchas was a passionate person. His passion at this point expressed itself at that moment that was called for because it was a harasha, because it was a chilul Hashem. Pinchas' behavior would not be sanctioned if he had asked Beis Din, they would have told him no, the Gemara says this. Had Zimri stopped for a moment, Pinchas would not have had the right to kill him. And if Zimri turns around and kills Pinchas, Zimri's father. So that's because Pinchas is a din of Erodev. It's a very, very, very limited window in which this behavior is appropriate. But the passion Pinchas feels is appropriate. And be careful while you're critiquing Pinchas-type behavior in a non-Pinchas-type setting. Be careful. This is a big, big mistake that moderate-tempered, balanced people make. Because moderate-tempered, balanced people find moderate template balance ways to express their opinions, but sometimes it's because they don't really care enough. And people who are very, very fanatical care deeply and they don't know how to moderate their expressions. And can you be someone that cares very, very, Rav Meidan cares very, very deeply about the causes he believes in. You can feel it. Do you agree with every way he chooses to express it? Maybe yes, maybe no, but he moderates his ways of expressing it. But do you have that type of passion? I remember I was a young rabbi in the early 90s, when the Lubavitcher Rebbe was in the process of passing away, and people were saying, he's the Mashiach, and people were very, very disturbed by that, lining up to critique all the Lubavitcher that said that. And I told the people in my shul, I said, before you critique them, check the temperature of your own messianic fervor. Do you deeply, deeply want Mashiach and think about Mashiach and dream of Mashiach and hope for Mashiach, but your expression is not that there's a person who is dying who is the Mashiach, but you have other ways that you express your messianic fervor? Or your messianic fervor is dead or hibernating and you're just critiquing people because, you know, make you feel uncomfortable because they have the passion that you wish you had but you just can't summon or you're afraid to have. So always be careful when you critique someone for inappropriate expressions of passion. Are you as passionate as they are? You're just finding different manners of expressing it or you lack the passion and the care. So I think a lot of people in the non-Haredi world sometimes are certainly in Chutz Arts. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a different tonality, but in Chutz Arts, there's a lot of Haredi phobia. Why? Because there's a lot of passion in that world. And sometimes people that don't have passion are uncomfortable. What do you mean? It's hard to look at myself in the mirror. They force you to look at the mirror. So it's always easy to find faults. Well, they have this problem and that problem. Rather than looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, well, how can I have as much passion than the way that I choose to express it or to channel it? So the Maral, or this Alen, or this Aramitalens, talks about the quintessential passionate person. The story of Yaakov's burial in Parshas Vayechi is very technical. One pasuk. It's a big ceremony, but they just buried him. You don't really hear much of it. The Chazal fill in the blanks. High drama. What was the high drama? When they got to the gravesite of Maris Machpelah in Hebron, who showed up? Who knows the Medrash? Who shows up to protest Yaakov being buried there? Who would show up? Who?
Esav.
Esav shows up. You stole the Bechora. I belong in Maris Machpelah. So they start negotiating. And at some point, they say, you know what? There's a contract, but we left the contract back to Mitzrayim. And Naftali, you're fast. Go run back to Mitzrayim. So they're waiting there for a couple of days. As fast as Naftali is, it's going to take a while. And who gets involved?
Hushim.
Who's Hushim?
The
son of Dan. And what does he hear? Nothing. Trick question. No, he doesn't hear anything. He's deaf. So he starts saying, like, what's going on? He's a little confused. They explain it to him, and he gets so furious and so angry that he chops Avesov's head. Now, let's assume that in that context, because of the history of Maris Machpelah, it's Esav, it's not, you know, Rosh Hashiva from the next nearby Yeshiva, this is Esav. Let's assume that the chopping off the head is appropriate. But why is it Chushim? Of all people, why Chushim? He was a swordsman? No, because everyone else got too accustomed, got too comfortable with the conversation. At a certain point, you just, okay, right, there's Esav. He's got his rights, my right, your right. This person behaves that way. There's cards on Shabbos. People behave this way. The state isn't from... You know, you just get used to things. You become accommodated to things. And when you become accommodated to things, you lose that passion. It should be different. I wish there were. When you see a car on Shabbos, does it bother you? When you see desecration of Shabbos, when you see whatever, I don't want to start iterating, but does it bother you? At some point, does it register? At some, maybe not every day, but maybe every once in a while? Or do you become too accustomed and too accepting of your world? All the other brothers, yeah, okay, Esav's got a point. All the lawyers were on one side of the table. Esav's lawyers, Yaakov's lawyers, he became accustomed. Chushim didn't hear anything. To him, it was just pure black and white, absolute values. This is Jewish history. This is Yaakov Avinu. The body's lying there. It's disrespectful. We have to have the action. Again, don't take Chushim-like action. Don't chop people's heads off. Don't take Pinchas-like action. But are you capable of that type of passion, or are you apathetic, adish, yavesh? And that's what Rav Amital was trying to prevent. Always be careful when you critique people's expression. Try to understand what's the underlying passion. In many, many cases, it's valuable. And then see if you have that same passion, and you'll find a different way to express it. Okay? Yom Na'im, everyone. Have a good day.